Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
The inside of your air conditioner is one of the nastiest things in your home, most likely. You're breathing in all of that every time your system's on because the air in your home is passing across that dirty coil, that biological growth that's building up in that system.
In this episode of the Waco Experience, an American Story, Jared Forsman of AirServe. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by our sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002. And schedule a White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, pergola, or maybe you're ready to build that custom home. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Chord Buddy is the world's best way to learn guitar. This Shark Tank winner is made in America. Travis Perry wanted to teach his daughter to play guitar. He told her about a magic gizmo to help. She said, "Daddy, build one for me." That night, the Chord Buddy learning system was created. Learn more at thechordbuddy.com. Biddy & Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. They have a community room you can reserve and use at no cost. Visit Biddy & Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. The Cactus Rose Ranch offers Western riding lessons for beginners, intermediate, and advanced riders. Bring your own horse or use one from right there on the ranch. You'll learn confidence and fundamental horsemanship from day one. Learn more online at thecactusroseranch.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend JB James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. D. Scott here, and I'm back at the Baylor Club. I just love recording here. The service is always great. View is fun, and just a nice facility to be in. And I'm here with Jared Forsman from AirServe. Let's get an introduction. Jared, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Jared. I'm with AirServe Heating and Air Conditioning. I've been with the company for a little over 3 years. We serve Central Texas, kind of the greater Waco area, but we also go up as far as Meridian, and we have another branch that's actually in Granbury as well, and that covers the Johnson County. So between those two shops, we've got kind of that whole central market lockdown.
How do people get a hold of you guys? Whether it's winter, summer, everyone needs help with their heating and air conditioning.
Sure. And we try to make it as easy as possible to get a hold of us. So, of course, there's the normal ways, Google search engines. You can give us a call. We have multiple ways that you can get a hold of us via Facebook. You can get a hold of us on pretty much any social media platform. But we also have another thing that we've just introduced where we do have a thermostat that can actually go on your wall. And it actually will have a QR code on there that if you had your system has an issue, you can actually scan that and it will actually give us a call.
I like the high-tech part of the high-tech system. So
yes,
very cool. So let's just talk about HVAC in general. Let's go through this.
Sure. So air conditioning is one of those things that everybody needs it, but it's honestly one of those appliances in your home that you probably know the least about. A lot of times we come across people who haven't changed their filter in a very long time, or they didn't even know that they were supposed to change their filter. And that's one of the things that we find can be one of the most detrimental to a system, simply because not changing that filter can cause buildup on not only the inside of the unit, but it can also cause a strain on the components to cause them to run higher amps, your electric bills go higher, and ultimately it causes the system to fail prematurely.
Let's stick with the filter for a moment. Before we started recording here, we were talking about COVID.
Yes.
People wearing masks. And you made some comments about the air in your house.
Yes.
All right. This is not to scare people, but let's scare people.
Not to scare people, but honestly, the inside of your air conditioner is one of the nastiest things in your home, most likely. And it's one of those places where you've probably never seen the inside of it. But if you think about what's actually happening in an air conditioning system, you're having water being removed from the air that's in there. And so you have this coil inside that's constantly getting wet. And then it's going from warm to cold to warm to cold whenever your system is shutting off or on. And so you a lot of times get a buildup of, we call it biological growth, because unless you do a test, you don't know what it is.
It's just a little incubator.
You're pretty much.
Cooking stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. And when you add a filter that's not getting changed, or a filter that's, I mean, we've been in houses where they never put in a filter, you just have really what we've opened up. And sometimes it's so nasty that we'll be like, you know what, we're going to step out and grab a mask and gloves before we really dive into this, because it's really that gross. And the thing is that your system is constantly recycling air. So you're breathing in all of that every time your system's on, because the air in your home is passing across that dirty coil, that biological growth that's building up in that system.
All right, filters. I've seen the filter on our system. Mm-hmm. How often should I change it?
So if you're using a regular 1-inch pleated filter, we'd probably recommend at least changing that once a month, because the thing with filters is that the more that they build up, the less airflow you have going across them. And so if you have less airflow going through your system, you're actually hurting the system, because now your motor's trying to run harder and you also have your outdoor equipment running harder. So you'd really want to change those at least once a month. However, you have kind of this push and pull thing going on, because you can get filters that are very thin, but if you get them too thin, they'll allow too much airflow and particles going through there. So therefore, you're not really stopping any dust. But if you get them too thick, you're cutting off the airflow for the system, and therefore you're shortening the life of your system. One of the solutions that we have for that is it's called a polarized filter. And so without getting too technical, what it is it is a metal base that slides into where your filter would normally go. And there's a little mesh filter that goes in there that has a foil plate in the middle of it. And so this is wired into your system and becomes electronically charged. So it's almost like a static cling. So therefore, you're allowing the air to pass through, but you're also collecting 97% of the dust that's going through that system, because it's attracting it rather than just trying to catch what's going across.
So it's kind of like the screen on my TV. It attracts all the dust in the room.
Correct.
So a similar principle, that static collector.
Correct.
Is this new?
So I hadn't heard about it until I started working for AirServe. So it's through Dynamic. I used to actually work on the supply side of the industry, and I'd never heard of it on that side.
So this is really surprising to me that we would change the filters once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, like, I changed the batteries in the smoke detector. Change the clocks, change the batteries. Is this really it? Once a month? I should be changing it once a month, because I know that's not happening. And that's not happening in my friends' homes.
Sure. And I'll be honest, very rarely do we see it happening. But to keep the system healthy and to keep it clean, that would be the recommendation.
All right, let's talk about the other services that you have. AC, that unit. What else is AirServe offering?
Sure. So one of the things that we really focus on is airflow. And it's something that we found that in the air conditioning industry is not even taught all that much. But it's the basis on what air conditioning was founded on. And if you have too little airflow coming in, or you don't have enough size in your ductwork for the airflow that's trying to come out, you end up straining the components in the indoor or the outdoor air conditioning system. So a lot of times what we're doing is we're going in and we're looking at the airflow set up for the client. A lot of times what we've seen in the industry is somebody will say, hey, I've got hot and cold spots in their house. So say another AC company went in and they said, oh, well, you just need a bigger system. So they'll put 5-ton system on a home that used to have a 3-ton system. Well, what's happened now is they didn't change the ductwork. They didn't redo anything. Basically, what they did was they put a system that's producing more air, but it doesn't have anywhere to go. So that air just comes back onto the system and puts more pressure. So now your motors are overamping, your outdoor units overamping. And so one of the big things that we've seen is that we'll go in and we'll actually fix hot and cold spots just by redoing ductwork, or just by doing what we call load calculation, where we actually size the house and the system. So we'll look at the insulation, we'll look at the doors, the windows, what direction they face, and actually put it into a program that tells us how much airflow needs to go into each one of those rooms. And by doing that, we can actually guarantee the temperature that your system will actually get down to and balance out your home. That way it's not, well, my bedroom gets, you know, 78 degrees, but the living room freezes out at 72 or 71 degrees.
You're taking into account the house, the flow, the sun direction, and all that stuff. That's very nice. Then we talked about the filters and changing the filters. You mentioned that outside unit, something that I completely ignore. What should I be doing? What am I missing here?
Sure. So a lot of times what happens, you're mowing the lawn, you're blowing off leaves, you're basically, that thing is getting filled with dirt, right? And we call it an impacted coil. And so a lot of times you'll go through there and see that there's supposed to be little air gaps in between those coils on the outside of the unit. A lot of times those are filled with dirt. And what happens is that's where you're supposed to have what's called a heat exchange. And this is where all of the refrigerant is absorbing the heat from the house. And so when it comes back out to the outdoor unit, that's where it's supposed to exchange that. And that's why when you go out to the air conditioner in the summertime, you feel that hot air coming off, because it's taking that heat from the house and letting it dispel. But what happens when your coil is impacted, you're not getting that heat exchange. And so not only can it change the pressures of the refrigerant and actually cause issues within the system, but ultimately your system doesn't work as efficiently as it should. And so at that point, your electric bills can run higher, you can have issues with your heating and cooling. And so one of the things is washing it down with a water hose, making sure that you clean out those coils. Never use a pressure washer. We've had some people say, well, I'll use a pressure washer. No, don't use a pressure washer. You can actually damage it. There are chemicals that you can put on it that can harm it. So we really don't say put chemicals on it. The best thing to do is just run water through a water hose. And one thing that a lot of people don't know is dogs urinating on the condenser coils will eat those away. So if you have a dog and that's his favorite spot, you might want to put something around there to keep him from going over there.
I like that. Just put up a little doggy fence around the unit out there. So that's good. Just hose it down, keep it clean. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty simple. So no problem with pouring water into it.
No problem with it getting wet at all.
AirServe is one of the companies from Neighborly.
Correct.
One of the franchise opportunities that's out there. Talk about the support that AirServe gets from Neighborly.
Sure. One of the biggest things is buying power. So we are a part of the national AirServe franchise. So you kind of get the best of both worlds, because we're locally owned and operated. The owner lives in Granbury, and then I live in Valley Mills. So we are very local, but then we also have the ability to get national prices. So we can get very competitive on equipment pricing. One of the things too is that we have a lot of support in new products and new technology coming out. Every year, Neighborly has what's called Reunion. That's where all the brands get together, and there's a giant trade show that's put on just for Neighborly. So every brand that has to do with air conditioning wants to be there, and they're showing all the brand new technology. We have seminars on what's coming out and kind of the way that the industry's going. And so we kind of get a leg up on it, and we have tons of avenues for continuing education. Whereas if we were just our own entity, we might be plugged into this stuff, but most likely there'd be a lot that we're missing.
Today on the Waco Experience, an American Story, we got Jared Forsman from AirServe, and we're just having a great conversation here at the Baylor Club. Jared, let's talk about how you got into this industry.
Sure.
Because a lot of people that are in your position maybe started off as an installer doing maintenance work. You came into this a little differently.
I did. And it was almost completely by accident. So I had gone to a Bible school out in Pennsylvania, realized that there was still a lot more schooling that I would have to do to actually complete the course that I was wanting to go on, but I had met my wife, who I realized I wanted to marry, and I needed to make some money. So she moved back to Houston, which is where she was from. I was originally from DeSoto, Texas. So two Texans moved out to Pennsylvania to meet each other. I was just trying to find a job so I could move down there, and her parents went to church with a guy who did air conditioning, and he let them know that, well, they're hiring at the place where I buy my air conditioning equipment from. And so I was like, you know what? I just need a temporary job. I'll go ahead and apply and see what happens. So I drove down there, interviewed, they hired me, and I was like, cool. So I moved down to Houston 1 week later, started my job, and started out in the warehouse. About 3 months into that, they moved me into the warranty management position. And so I ran that for about 9 months and realized that there were some inadequacies with their warehouses and how they were running it. And I let the owner know, well, I have some ideas. I could actually implement this. And he said, that's a great idea. And so he created the area warehouse management position. It's a brand new position they'd never had. And so for the next 2 years, I went through and through the 7 branches that they had, redid all the warehouses. I created procedures and policies to get it back to where it was running properly. After 2 years of doing that, they basically said, you know what, it's running in a way that we can have the branch managers start running this again. And so then they offered me the branch management position. And so I did that for about 4 years and tried to learn as much as I could about the air conditioning side. And at that point, they created, because the company was rapidly growing, so there was constantly positions being opened up. And so then they had created the area operations management positions. And they asked me if I wanted to move into that, and I, of course, said yes. And so I did that for about 2 years until we moved out to Waco. Being in Houston for 10 years, I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I had in there, but I also realize that I'm not a city person.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It's good to visit, but I wouldn't want to have to live with the traffic.
No. And I was spending probably about 4 hours in my car because we had five different branches, and they ranged from Katy, Texas to Beaumont, Texas. And so just the commute, we lived 19 miles from where the main office was, but it would take me about an hour and 10 minutes to get into work.
So you go from Bible school
mm-hmm.
to operations management.
Mm-hmm.
Not really in your career thought when you were a young man.
It wasn't. But I'll tell you, that was kind of par for the course, because even before I went off to Bible college, I was going into I wanted to be a police officer and go into the police academy. And then I did a 180 on that.
And so then you learned the business through the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you saw the components, you understood what was going on, worked with the manufacturers. How did you end up in Central Texas at sure. AirServe?
My wife and I had come down to visit in about 2018, and I actually knew of Waco because when I was a teenager, I did trap shooting, which is similar to skeet shooting, and we would shoot at the Waco Gun Club, which is over by the airport. So I was familiar, but at that point, I was, I think, 12 years old, so it was early 2000s, and there wasn't a whole lot built up out here. And of course, when the silos came in, you know, we wanted to go see what everybody was talking about in Waco. So we came down and visited in 2018, and it wasn't anything like what I remembered. And we fell in love with not necessarily the attractions part of it, but the downtown part of it and just the small town feel, but you still had everything you need. And so at that point, my wife and I had started talking about, well, you know what? I think that's where we want to move. And we started creating kind of a 5-year plan. And COVID happened and everything kind of started shutting down. I was deemed an essential worker during that time. So I still had a job and everything was good as far as it could be in Houston. So we said, you know what, we're just going to sit tight and we don't know what the future holds. And so we were happy. Everything was going good. And we had gone to, after everything had kind of cleared up around 2022, we had gone out to Canton, the big flea market out there. And my wife had found a mini horse ranch that we could stay at, an Airbnb. And we stayed out there and we fell in love with the country again. And we remembered that we wanted to move out to Waco. And so on the way back, we hit traffic and I just turned to my wife and I said, I feel like I just died inside a little bit. And she goes, I was going to tell you the same thing. So literally that night after our trip, we went home and called a realtor and scheduled an appointment for the next day. And so the realtor came over, and we were just going to get an idea on what our house would evaluate for. He passed over the little paper almost like in a movie, and I picked it up, and it was basically double what we paid for the house. And I said, are you kidding me? And he goes, nope. And so at that point, we made the decision right then and there that, all right, we're going to jump. We're going to go do this. I unfortunately felt bad because I had to go into my office the next day and let them know what we were doing, and they were kind of shocked by it because I was like, I don't know when it's going to happen. But a month later, we moved to Waco. And how I got a part of AirServe was that they were one of my clients out in Houston. They were actually doing quite a bit of business with the company I was with. I saw that they were hiring out here in Waco. And so I applied. They had a pretty rigorous interview process. So I actually did 4 interviews before they hired me on, but they hired me on. We got an apartment and moved out 1 month later.
It's funny because we toured Texas in April a year ago, just over a year ago, and decided in May that we were going to move out here. September, we were here.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a quick turn. A friend of mine who's a mentor also said, because he had made a big move from Oregon to Franklin, Tennessee. Took him 3 years in process. And I talked to him about coming to Waco, and he's just like, if you're going to do it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you followed similar advice. You guys came out quickly. What about family, friends? What was the reaction on such a quick turn for you guys?
There was a little bit of shock. We had already told our family and friends that we wanted to move out back in 2018, but then we hadn't really talked about it that much. And I think a lot of them thought that, you know, it was kind of a, I think they thought we had kind of a pipe dream because we found a lot of people talk about moving or wanting property, but, you know, it just, yeah, that would be nice one day. But we were really serious about it, and we were setting goals to actually do it. And so it did take everybody off guard a little bit, but I think after they realized that we were serious and we were really doing it, they jumped on board. And actually, now that we have, we live out in Valley Mills, and we were able to get 10 acres out there. And so now that they've all come and visited and seen it, they've all been really excited for us. And
I'm not surprised. There is some beautiful land out there.
It is.
At Valley Mills, that whole area.
It is.
It's you found a good spot. You found a lifetime spot, maybe.
We did. I mean, that's the plan. We don't want to move anywhere else. We feel like we were very happy in Houston, but we never felt like it was home. And it was very hard to form a community, even with friends and things like that, because a lot of times they'll live an hour and a half away from you, even though you're in the same zip code. Being down here, we've already been able to make a community, and we feel like we've made lifelong friends. And so it really feels like home being here in the greater Waco area.
Let's talk about the future for HVAC. A lot of technology changes going on in all industries. And I imagine that the HVAC world is also making a lot of advancements. What are you seeing?
Oh, well, even within just the last 3 years, there's already been 2 major changes that's happened. So the first one that happened was around 2022, and it was where the government changed the rating, which they have the SEER rating, which is Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio. This was basically their way of testing how efficient a system is. But the way that they were doing it was deemed that it wasn't realistic. The ratings that were coming across weren't actually how a system functions in real life because they're testing them in laboratories. And so they made the change that the minimum rating had to go up to 14.2 SEER rating. So all the ratings changed across the boards. So all of a sudden you had all these manufacturers who had this equipment could no longer sell it in the southern regions. Now up north you can sell them a little bit easier because you don't have the cooling season or the need for cooling like we do down here. So that was the first big one. So you had all these manufacturers were changing their equipment lines over. Well, then we just had this past year the EPA starting to phase out the R410A equipment. So there was if for those who don't know, refrigerant has been contested for a while. R22 was one of the main refrigerants that was being used for a really long time, and it was deemed that it was causing issues with the ozone in the earth, especially because of bad practices, people not actually recovering refrigerant like they're supposed to. And so that was phased out and replaced with R410A. Well, R410A has been the main refrigerant for the last 15 years. Well, that was now deemed that it had GWP, which it stands for global warming potential. And so that has now been phased out. So you can still get the equipment and it can still be installed this year, but after this year, so what previous year manufacturers had to stop producing them. So now what's out on the market is what's out on the market. Those can still be installed for one more year, but then after that, no more R410A. And then they're going to start phasing the refrigerant out completely to where it won't be manufactured. And so there's two refrigerants, R32 and 454B. And depending on which brand of equipment you get, it's going to have one of those refrigerants in it. We're not sure for how long. So we've had two refrigerant changes within the last 20 years. So who knows how many are going to keep coming. And that's only on just the regulation side of it. Once you get into technology, air conditioning technology has gone way up. You have multiple things that you can do. There are systems now that are completely communicating, which means the thermostat is communicating with the indoor equipment and the outdoor equipment. So both of those have big computer boards on them. And the whole thing is constantly communicating with each other to keep your home cool and set at the set point that you want it. That way it's not just coming off and on, off and on.
So you guys are mainly doing residential, but you're a small business here in the community.
Correct.
Let's talk about business conditions in Central Texas. Sure. What are you seeing? And let's just kind of leave people with some inspiration for living in Central Texas.
Sure. I mean, from what we've seen, Central Texas is constantly growing. Even when I've talked to friends who live across the country and they talk about the job markets and how hard it is to get a job or the living conditions, I'm not seeing that here. I'm seeing, you know, when other places are saying that they're getting stagnant, we're still seeing growth, especially here in the Central Texas area. It feels like more people are coming in every day. And that's been really cool to see because it's helped us stay on a growth rate as well, just because people are always going to need air conditioning and they're going to need quality air conditioning. And especially because this area is big on taking the old homes that were here and renovating them and upgrading them. That's what we specialize in, especially with the ductwork that is not adequate anymore. And so I just see nothing but good stuff for the business market here in Central Texas.
Well, we've got Jared Forsman from AirServe. Thank you for coming in today and giving us a little glimpse into the world of HVAC from a service provider point of view. And let's wind up with jobs. What about finding technicians? And what do you see as a career for our young folks who are thinking, what am I going to do for the rest of my life?
So I definitely recommend getting into trades. It is something that I think is going to be around for a long time, especially the air conditioning trade. One of the things that we look for is somebody who has the right attitude, somebody who is going to work hard. And so the skill set can a lot of times be taught. And we do have training programs that we put each of our employees through. And so really, if somebody really wants to get into it, they can go on through a college or even what I did and get into a wholesale company and work your way up. It's a great way to get your foot in the door and get something on your resume that says air conditioning, because a lot of times that's what HVAC companies are looking for, someone with experience.
The Waco Experience, an American story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.